message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Thanks for being with us today. We certainly hope that our time together will prove a real blessing and help in the Word of God for you, that your life would be enhanced because you spend a little time with us looking into God's Word. It's our desire here on this Bible study program to help you to understand and enjoy the Word of God so that the Word of God can be real to you, alive in your understanding, and can work effectually in you as you believe it. It's your faith resting in the facts of God's Word that allows the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and cause it to work in your life, and work it will. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God and to have the Word of God as our guide and to have God's counsels written down for us and then guiding us and instructing us and teaching us and leading us in the things that the details of our life on a daily basis. I think probably one of the great blessings of being a child of God is to have the leadership of the Spirit of God in our lives. And yet that's a tremendously misunderstood subject. I was talking to someone just the other day, and they would tell him about, well, you know, the Lord told him, said, well, go over and turn the TV on because there's something that you need to hear, and then go turn the radio on because, well, there's something you need to hear there, and God told him to go over and do. And, you know, I asked him, I said, wait a minute, what do you mean? How did God tell you to go turn the television on? And they said, well, I just had this impression to go do it, this feeling to go do it. Well, you know, that's dangerous, folks, to say things like that. Because if God says to you, go turn on the television, you know something? You better write that down. That means the Word of God isn't complete. That means everything He has to say isn't in the Bible, you know. You say, well, I don't mean that. This person, I asked him, I said, do you believe the Word of God's complete? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, then, how's God talking outside of His Word? You know, old J. Vernon McGee used to say that God isn't speaking outside of His Word. And that if you thought you had a vision last night and God spoke to you, you better go check what you had for supper last night. It was probably that. And McGee's right. God speaks through His Word, and His Word is complete. And there are no extra biblical speaking revelations from God today. There is rather illumination on His Word. There is His Word hid in our heart that instructs our thinking so we know how to properly respond to things. But folks, the way God leads us today is not with impressions and voices, and it's through His Word. That's why it's important to get in the Word of God and get the Word of God in us so that we have things stored up in our heart that the Spirit of God can then call upon to instruct us. I say all that because we're in Romans chapter 8, and we've come to verse number 14. There are only two verses in Paul's epistles where he speaks about the Spirit leading us. Romans 8:14 is one. Galatians 5:18 is the other. Galatians 5:18 says, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. God, the Holy Spirit, never leads anyone to live under the law principle. He only leads you to live under grace. Anytime you find yourself relating to God or to one another or to yourself on the basis of your performance, anytime you're looking to God for God to accept you, or you think He has rejected you on the basis of what you're doing, your performance, anytime you look at someone else and you either accept them or reject them, anytime you look at yourself and accept or reject yourself on the basis of your doing, on the basis of your performance, you're living under the law. And God says, Galatians 5:18, that He doesn't lead you to do that. That's your flesh. That's your human viewpoint. That's your upbringing. That's your religious tradition. That's not God the Holy Ghost leading you. The other verse is in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have a wonderfully privileged position. We talked about it last week of being the sons of God, full-grown sons in the family, Abel, as verse number 15 says, to cry, Abba, Father, in that tremendously privileged position. And it's the spirit of adoption that resides in us that allows us to cry, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4, he says in verse number 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God's spirit in us allows us to relate to God the Father as who we are in Christ. We have that privileged position that belongs to Jesus Christ to address the Father as Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. We're no longer dealt with on the basis of our performing. Did we get the job done? Didn't we get it done? How well did we do? We relate on the basis of our identity, on the basis of our sonship status. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know, a son is someone through whom the Father's character and attributes is manifest. The qualities of the dad are manifest in the son. I have three boys. And for many years, people have said to them, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. People can look at one of my boys and then see one of the other ones, and they know they're brothers because they look so much alike. And then they'll see me, and they know they're mine because we all look so much alike. We bear a family resemblance that has to do with genetic structure, simply put. But the fathers, you know, they can never get away from being my kids as much as they might ever want to because of the genetic connection. And the son is one that manifests the qualities, in this case that I'm illustrating it, the physical qualities of the dad. I look at my hands sometime, and I can see my dad's hands. I look at different parts of my anatomy, and I can see my grandfather, and I can see my mother. What do? You see your parents. Well, it's that way in the spiritual life. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The way you manifest your sonship position, the way you manifest the reality of who you are in Christ, is by being led by the Spirit. Not dragged and forced, but willingly led. Someone that is led decides to go. They make a choice to walk by faith and to go. It has to do with obedience. It has to do with the fact that the Holy Spirit actualizes in the details of our life the reality of our identity in Christ Jesus. This new creature that we are, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. By that verse, you need to write down identity, not behavior. That verse isn't talking about when it says, oh, behold, all things, old things passed away, all things become new. Not talking about, you know, well, once I used to drink booze and now I don't, you know, God took all that away from me. Once I smoked cigarettes like a smokestack and now he took all that away from me. Or once I shot up dope and now he took that away from me. Once I cussed like a sailor and now I talk like a Sunday school teacher. Not talking about that. Not talking about your behavior. But let me tell you something. A lot of folks have swapped booze and cancer sticks and needles and drugs and promiscuity and lying and embezzling and cheating and stealing and robbing and adultery and fornication and whoremongering. A lot of folks have swapped those things for pride and jealousy and envy and hatred and malice and strife and variance and emulation and a lot of sins of the Spirit and think they've cleaned up, you know. And as soon as you think, Paul says, if any man thinketh he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. And pride goes before a fall. And you have to be careful about that. He's not talking about your activities. You know what he's talking about? Many a man's boasted way beyond his measure about how much he's changed his life, you know. It's a wonderful truth. We sing the song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. But that change comes in the identity that God gave you in his Son. That's where all things are new. All things are of God. When he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God. What he's talking about is this new identity that God gave you in Christ, this new person that he's made you in his Son, this new position that he's given you in Christ Jesus. Once you understand who God has made you in Christ, you've been made a son, an adult in the family of God that can come in and cry, Abba, Father. Once you understand that, then it is God the Holy Spirit who leads you into having that new identity become the reality and the expression and the living, have that new identity actualized in the details of your life as you're led by the Spirit. Now, it's important to notice the way the Spirit of God can make real in the details of your life on a daily basis this new identity that you have in Christ is by leading you, not dragging you, not forcing you, not pushing you, but by you choosing to willingly go and cooperate and walk with Him. It's the issue of obedience, the faith walk. And that's a tremendously important issue. There are some things you need to understand about obedience, because this is a dispensational topic that if you don't grasp the dispensational differences, you're going to wind up in tremendous confusion. There's a lot of theological arguments about the place of obedience in the life of a Christian. People say, well, you got to work. You got to be obedient to get saved. Somebody else says, no, you work because you are saved. Somebody else says, well, okay, but you got to work to stay saved. Well, what is? Oh, that's different. What is the issue? Well, the issue in obedience, if you'll think about it and see it in its dispensational context, then all of a sudden it becomes far more easily managed. Now, in your Bible, we've talked to you over and over about the fact that the Bible divides itself up. Paul divides the Bible up into what he calls in Ephesians 2, time past, but now, and the ages to come. There's this threefold division. Back here in time past, there's God's purpose with the nation Israel. He divides mankind between the circumcision, the nation Israel, and the uncircumcision, the rest of the nations of the earth. He places them under the law program back here. The law program is a performance system whereby when you perform, if you perform, then you get the blessing. And they are commanded to perform. They are told. They are commanded to obey. God tells them, you go do these things. The law says, if thou do this, you'll get the blessing. Thou shalt, he gave them 10 commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. They're commanded to do these things. That's the way the law operates. Now, the problem with the law, go with me to Galatians chapter number 3. When the law, in the law system, and as I said to you many times, the law system is a perfectly good system. There's nothing wrong with the law. Romans chapter 7 says the law is holy and just and good. The problem with the law is not the law. Romans 8:3 says that the law, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Well, the law didn't have flesh. You have flesh. You see, when you try to keep the law, the problem is that you can't keep it. No matter how low you make the standards, you can't keep it. I mean, think about the Ten Commandments for a minute. Thou shalt not steal. Now, you'd think that'd be an easy thing to do, just respect the property rights of others. But people can't do it. I mean, he didn't set that standard way up high, folks. He just said, steal, don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Just don't lie about people. That's a rather simple commandment. You know what the problem is? You break it. You don't do it. Put in the right set of circumstances and the right conditions, you'll steal like any thief, and you'll lie just like a rug on the floor. And you know it. Honor your father and your mother. What could be easier than loving your mom and your dad and honoring them? What could be more natural than that? You see, he didn't set high standards. He set them rather low, frankly. Right? You know, just waist high right across the plate. Well, you could get it. Problem is, you keep striking out. Why is that? Galatians 3 verse, well, you're weak in your flesh. You got an infirmity. You're a sinner. And by the knowledge of the law, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Galatians 3:10, God commands them under the law. He commands obedience. Do it and live. Don't do it, die. Galatians 3:10, as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You got to do everything. James chapter 2, verse number 10, James writes to the 12 tribes of Israel, and he says, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. All you got to do is mess up one time. You know how many times Adam and Eve had to sin before God put them out of the Garden of Eden? One time. Wasn't a real big sin. It was just eating a grape. Just go eat a piece of fruit that God commanded them not to eat. The law, time passed, God commanded men, but men failed. Fellowship with God in time past was conditioned upon man's obedience to the commandments of God. The law requires obedience. The problem with the law is you don't keep it. Neither did Israel, neither do you. Paul says in Romans chapter number 3, verse number 19, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is like a mirror that you see yourself in. And the law is like a little man running around behind you, pointing to you and saying, sinner, sinner, sinner. Got a little sign held up that said, sinner, sinner, sinner. And every time you stand up, he says, sinner, points to you. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, I know one thing. That isn't going to work. That won't produce obedience. It requires it, but I'm a failure, and you're a failure, and Israel was a failure, and so they needed a Redeemer. So Jesus Christ came and died at Calvary to redeem the nation Israel and to take them out from under the old covenant and put them under a new covenant. And he promised that he went away, and he said, I'm going to come again, and he's going to come again as Israel's Redeemer. The Redeemer shall roar out of Zion, save them from the wrath of God in the tribulation period against the nation, and set up his kingdom out here, and redeemed Israel in that kingdom will exercise and enjoy the new covenant. God is going to redeem his purpose in the nation Israel. He sent the Holy Spirit back on the apostles, and they go out and they preach to the nation Israel. God set Israel aside temporarily in here. One day, after the dispensation of grace in here, in which we're a part of this mystery program, and the body of Christ is formed, the body of Christ is going to go out, and God's going to take up his program again with Israel, and he'll fulfill his program. And in the ages to come out here, he's going to fulfill his program with the nation Israel. You say, well then, but how can he do it? If Israel failed to keep the commandments and never could, how is it that they're going to be able to to keep them? Ezekiel chapter number 36. Ezekiel 36. Now don't get lost here. Ezekiel 36. Trying to keep the commandments won't work. You can't keep them. So what's God going to do with Israel? Ezekiel 36 verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? There's the baptism, water baptism for the cleansing, for the remission of sins, for the nation Israel. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you. And take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and we'll give you an heart of flesh. He's going to, number one, they're going to be baptized for the remission of sins, wash away the ceremonial cleansing to take away the filthiness of their idolatrous past. Number two, he's going to regenerate them, going to put a new spirit in them, going to give them what he calls the new birth, give them a spiritual regeneration. And then verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you. He's going to empower them, and notice, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments. Not only is he going to forgive their sins, not only is he going to give them a new nature, but he is also going to put his spirit within them and empower them. And he says he's going to cause them to walk in his statutes and keep his judgments. What he commanded them to do back there and they failed, over here he won't simply command them. He will enable them and empower them and cause them to be able to keep those things. He is going to compel them in it. He is going to supernaturally, by His Spirit, empower them so that they do the things that the law requires. He is going to do for them what they could not do for themselves. That's the kingdom program. Trying to keep the commandments won't get it because you fail. So what God's going to do for Israel is he's going to send His Spirit and supernaturally empower them and cause them to walk in His statutes and keep His judgments. Now, what about this center part? What about the dispensation of grace? What about me and what about you? The commandment, the obedience that was required back there and commanded is achieved over here for Israel. But what about us as members of the body of Christ? Well, Romans 8 verse 14 tells you, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You want to manifest your sonship position today, you do it on the basis of being led. Not simply commanded and told to do it. Not forced and caused and compelled to do it, but led. You're not forced, you're not driven, you're not dragged. To be led is to be willingly going along. My hand in His hand, willingly walking together by faith, being led by the Spirit of God. Now, God Almighty, in His grace, provides for us the enablement. Over here, the enablement is given directly. What were they doing on the day of Pentecost? They were in the upper room. They weren't praying, watching, waiting, doing anything about it. They were just sitting there waiting until the promise of the Spirit came, and God directly empowered them. That isn't going to be the way He does it in here. He's going to lead us. In here, the empowerment is going to be indirect. What do you mean? It's going to be a faith walk. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's going to be the Word of the power of the Spirit of God traveling through the Word of God as we by faith rest in the Word of God that allows His life to live out through us, that leads us. God the Holy Spirit takes the believer. As you rest in the truth of God's Word to you, in here He exhorts you. Back here He commanded you. He didn't give you an option. Over here He's going to compel them. He's going to directly empower them by putting His Spirit in them and causing them to walk in His statutes and causing them. In here He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by your clear, intelligent understanding of God's mercies to you in Christ, of Romans 1-11 and all the doctrine that He's laid down there. He comes to chapter 12, verse 1, and He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What He's saying there is, I beseech you, for love's sake, I just ask you to do this out of love and gratitude. Let the love of Christ compel you, constrain you. Let it motivate you. Let it lead you. Let an understanding of who God has made you in Christ and what He's accomplished for you at Calvary be the thing that motivates you. to, by faith, allow the Spirit of God to be the instructor. The Christian life isn't that hard. It really isn't. You look around you and you see people come apart at the seams so easy. Folks, the Christian life isn't that difficult. And things that are going on in your life aren't that difficult, quite frankly. Do you know that whatever's happening, if you want to get a different view on life, the old saying, stand on your head and everything will look different to you. You want your life to have victory. God only has a plan for you of victory. No, there's no plan B for you. Then begin to think like God thinks and see your life and see yourself the way God sees you and the way God thinks about you. And my friend, the Christian life is simply to recognize who God has made you in Christ and to by faith say that is the reality and that's the truth. And walk not by sight but by faith. Not looking at the things that are seen but at the things that are the real realities of who God has made you in Christ. We sing that song, we say, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You get in the book, you find out what God and the Word of God has given you by His grace for His glory, and you let that be the reality in your thinking. And then God, the Holy Spirit, through your faith walk in the truth of the Word of God, will lead you, and your sonship position and privileges will be manifest by His grace and for His glory. Thanks for listening today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape they'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Marks of a Son. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 280. That's tape offer number 280. The Message of Grace is Ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best on you next time for another Message of Grace.